Welcome to All Well Stan's radio show. This is the Back to the Basics radio shows. And so these are all as podcasts that can be found on the website allwellstan.org. And they're also broadcast throughout Africa via shortwave radio. I am your host, Tim Metzger of Rapid City, South Dakota. So as I'm working on this, one of the things here is okay, talking about back to the basics, I want to have a decent collection of things on a more basic level that every person should know, and as every person should contemplate their eternity, their soul before their creator, and should have the truth of the gospel presented to them, and so needs to be presented in a way that is easily understood to an American, to somebody who lives in Africa, to somebody who might listen to this program in China or via the podcast or anywhere on the face of this earth. Because a lot of times this stuff is not necessarily broken down enough for many people. And a lot of people who are looking for answers, you know, they're going to need more of a basic information to start. One of those things, as I'm getting a collection of podcasts up there, is the need to be talked about is repentance. And so I'm going to go over an article that was posted up on the website, allwellstan.org, back on June 20th, 2018. It's called Repentance Gone Missing. So I'll start off with the verse, Luke chapter 13, verse 3. Jesus said, "I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And then also Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 47. "And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins be preached in his name to all nations, beginning out of Jerusalem." There are churches all over from coast to coast of this country. Numerous different denominations, tons of different viewpoints on the Bible, where does one turn? What can be a test to see if these churches are biblical and truly have a pastor who is saved and called by God to preach? Doctrine is important, very important. There are numerous errors found throughout nearly every church across the United States, some more obvious than others. Some churches have some doctrines correct, others have other ones correct. While I'm not speculating that anyone would find an absolutely perfect church, the harsh reality is that a church where a biblical salvation message is not preached could simply not make sense regarding of how they are following Christ and adhering to doctrine. The Bible is quite clear on doctrine and also provides some warnings to believers regarding to check into what they hear, as well as times to go elsewhere should you find yourself in the midst of wolves, or as often happens, a church changes slowly, become an apostate. And you can take a look at Revelation chapter 18, verse 4. So the Bible has some rules here, some guidance that can help every single man and woman out there listening to this. And one of those is found in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." There's a good thing right there to understand that, you know. And this is from a pastor perspective, from a church leader. But it's something that each believer or each seeker can also consider. Another thing going into them is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. "Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will deliver both yourself and those who hear you." Okay, so we can see that doctrine is important here. Acts 17:11. "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they had received the word with all readiness, and search the scriptures daily to see whether these things are so." And finally, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convict, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own lusts, desiring to hear pleasant things, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to myths. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Well, there are good churches out there that do not hold to an independent fundamental Baptist name. Truly, I've always found the independent fundamental Baptist to be by far the closest and best to preaching gospel truth. Yet, even nowadays, there are warning signs and red flags are everywhere, including Baptists. Myself, I would certainly just consider to be a saint of Jesus Christ, a true born-again believer who has repented and by faith believing that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I was saved at the age of 9 in the Nazarene Church in Lansing, Michigan. I do believe that there are those who are saved in numerous types of denominations. While the Roman Catholic Church certainly doesn't preach a true gospel, but rather a works-based, idolatrous pagan religion, certainly it would be possible for someone to get saved and find themselves attending there. Though a babe in Christ, as the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:1, one would think that sooner than later the Holy Spirit would point out the error of the church they are in and they would be directed elsewhere. We've addressed some issues in the past, and there's articles actually in the past regarding apostasy, false religions, the current megachurch ordeals, and other things. But the focus on this article is just salvation and a message that is preached. And, you know, let me give an update. This has been, I can't believe it's already been about 6 years since this has been written. That's quite a long time. And, you know, speaking of apostasy, since this has been written, there has been numerous, particularly Baptist churches. When I was living in Michigan for a while, I contacted numerous Baptist churches in a pretty wide array all across northern Michigan. And a lot of these were actually independent. And some of them were just not. And, you know, because I would look at their website and very few had a biblical salvation message. It included repentance, as you can take a look at Acts 20:21, just the gospel message, the message of salvation, just in a nutshell right there. But I would take and I would contact these pastors. Some of them I called. Two of them I visited. Some of them I emailed. Other ones I sent a letter and a book to. And honestly, I didn't get very far. Most of what I heard as far as debating was silence. There was one who I attended one time on a Wednesday Bible study. And it was really sad, actually. I mean, nice guy, but I mean, really sad, the lack of repentance. And it showed it was in what he was doing in his ministry. It reflected it. And, you know, it was a real shame and a real eye-opener. And there's some, actually, who actually have it on their website that I've now found out, and they don't actually believe it. Or the what they call repentance isn't biblical repentance. We're going to be going over that here in a minute. And then there's some that that don't have it on their website, and somebody else did their website. I know of one pastor where their website was done by a different church member, and personally, I think as the pastor, the man's older. He's a good guy. Probably should check the work of some of your people who worked on your website a little bit closer, because they just had, for those who are familiar, just a Romans Road and not much substance there, just a easy believerism type prayer. And that's all they had, and that's actually not what the pastor believed. So I guess it can go both ways. So don't necessarily judge, as I did originally, a church's beliefs based upon a website. Really, it's good to talk to a pastor. And I will tell you, in my experience, talking to pastors, I guess I always just start off saying, you know, kind of like a search. What must I do to be saved? Knowing that there's actually a verse like that in Acts, and just wondering how they respond. And it's funny, most of them don't mention repentance, and they'll know, you know, some of the Bible if you say something like that. But what they when you say, well, what about this? And, oh, yeah, that too, yep. But then, you know, you'll get some, well, what does that mean? Oh, I had actually, so there's one out here in South Dakota I talked to. And the guy, you know, I've heard this before, but this guy was very prominent. Well, it is clearly repentance is turning from unbelief to belief, which is not actually what it is. And it's really, this is something, this is why this podcast will be up on the website, and hopefully until the Antichrist real government takes it down, is because this is actually key. This is something that anyone out there listening, you know, this is key. So the Bible is quite clear that repentance is necessary for salvation. This used to be clearly indicated throughout Baptist churches, and I know a lot about Baptist churches, way into the 1950s, and then started a massive decline, affecting even the independent fundamental Baptist churches. So, now, some might give a basic meaning of repentance, such as making a 180-degree turn, but most won't even do that. Certainly, to tell a sinner that repentance, not simply faith, is necessary for salvation won't attract large crowds. The unknown truth to the matter is often businessmen are on the boards of these churches who employ the pastor. The outlook for the church is growth, so the watering down God's word in order to not offend people happens frequently. Now, I gotta, you know, let me update this. Yeah, there's truth to that. However, in all reality, even independent fundamental Baptist churches, okay, let me just toss in a real life example here. So this would have been just prior, this would have been 2019. So the same church I went to, I told you one time on a Wednesday. Okay, so I went to show up to a church on a Wednesday. Okay, and I pulled in the parking lot and nobody was there. And, you know, according to the website, this was a time. I remember going back home and I actually, you know, had to wipe a tear from the corner of my eye because I like there is, which is rare, and there's like, what's going, where are people? So I left a message for the pastor. He called me back. Oh, I live a mile down the road, Parsonage, Wednesday, we have service. Okay, so I went down there. The next Wednesday, pull in, driveway, and there was this guy outside smoking a cigarette. I'm not criticizing the man. Okay, if somebody just gets saved, you very well may see that, period. Okay. Not like people overnight are, you know, perfect as many people think they should be, but that's, I have seen, sometimes God works differently in each individual. Sometimes there's very dramatic, but still. Anyway, so this guy comes in. I guess he had attended the church the last Sunday. And there's some other person there who I guess frequently goes, and it's a pastor and his wife. That's it, Wednesday. So it would be, well, maybe there's two women, this guy who hadn't come before. Anyway, I mean, not trying to be mean, but it doesn't happen very often. This guy, I honestly felt, was demon-possessed. I mean, he looked demon-possessed. I don't know how to explain that. I would say he was demon-possessed. And he's sitting there, and the pastor's like, this guy just got saved, blah, blah, blah. I mean, like, you know, it. I'm not feeling it at all. I'm not the judge of somebody's heart, but I'm not seeing it. And not because he was outside. No, that's not it. He literally had a very bad aurora about him. Anyway, so we went for the Bible study, and I went home. Well, so at the time, I was a night manager at a restaurant in town. And we had this one guy, nice guy. You know, for a waiter, he did a really good job, full-fledged sodomite. And, you know, I mean, did a great job. We are professional. Well, this pastor comes in there, his wife, and he says, you know, oh, yeah, that guy, this waiter I have, Oh yeah, he got saved in my church, and you know, and so we had talked about this, me and this pastor, about repentance, and the pastor's like, well, yeah, the Bible does teach it, but you know, there's also examples where people don't have to repent. Well, long story short, this guy, this pastor, talks about how that waiter, you know, got saved at Vacation Bible School when he was a child. Okay, from a perspective, not even talking about the sodomite issue, that's clearly, you know, evidence that he's not saved. But I mean, there, he was a party animal, just like anyone else. Okay, and there wasn't an inkling, hint, of any salvation there whatsoever. And that's the type of fruit that you get when you push these people through as a child vacation. So all these people the pastor was talking about that had been saved over the years, and this pastor was old, you know, he was retirement age in the public, and you have all this years and years and years of preaching and all these people saved and all these people saved. And I would drive by there sometimes on a Sunday morning, and there's like 10 people, and then Wednesday there's like 2, you know, I mean, and that one time I went there was 3, and there was me, 4. And how do you have so many people, X amount of people saved over the years, and they just don't ever want to go to church again? Okay, so, you know, let's talk about repentance. So, I have a very old Webster's University Dictionary. No, this isn't the 1828 edition or whatever, but this is a family heirloom that's been passed down. It's, I think it's 1942. And it's a big one, and it's unabridged. And so let me go over some of the verses of repent. So, or some of the definitions, I'm sorry. So repent, VI. Number one, to feel pain, sorrow, or regret for something one has done or left undone. To change a mind in consequence of the inconvenience or injury done by past conduct. And thirdly, in theology, to feel such sorrow for sin as leads to amendment of life. To be penitent, to grieve over one's past life, and to seek forgiveness for a sin with a determination to lead a new life. That's pretty good from a Webster's Dictionary. I wouldn't want to know what they say nowadays, but that's great. Okay, and then, you know, so there's some more definitions, different tenses. So let me just go ahead and go over a couple of these. So repent, VT, that's a tense. So, number one, to remember sorrow, to feel contrition or remorseful as to repent rash words. Number two, to be sorry, to regret used reflexively. And number three, to cause to have regret used impersonally. And then repentable, it's an adjective, an A. Capable of being repented of, admitting of repentance. And then repentance in noun version. The act of repenting, the state of being penitent, sorrow or regret for what has been done or left undone by oneself, especially sorrow and contrition for sin, such sorrow for the past as leads to amendment of life, penance, contrition. Okay. And finally, repentant, another adjective. Number one, feeling or experiencing repentance or sorrow for the past conduct or words, contrite, penitent. And number two, expressive of or indicating repentance or sorrow for the past springing from caused by repentance. Okay. Let's go on. Now, if one just simply pauses and comprehends what repentance is, then we will brush up on this in regards to sin. Quite simply put, repentance is realizing that one is worthy of God's judgment for their sins, feeling sorrow and regret for their past sins, and no longer wanting to do those things. Simply turning away from one's sins, changing their mind regarding sin, and realizing that through the blood of Christ having paid the penalty for their sins, that they, by faith, believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Okay. Now, let's see what the Bible says about repentance, because we've talked about repentance. It's not that complex. I'm not trying to be complex. It's literally, I guess, let me just try to explain it a little bit more in layman's terms. It's realizing that you have sinned against God. You have done wrong. No, you're not going to remember everything you have done. But you are sorry. You no longer want to live an unholy life. You no longer want to do those things. And you have a change of mind, a change of heart, and you make a 180-degree turn. Now, I'm not saying that there's not some stuff the heart might say it, and it might not happen overnight. I knew a guy, he's a preacher, and he was a really bad liar. And he said after he got saved, there were still lies that would come out of his mouth, but it ended. It kept on ending every time he'd remember. And so eventually, because he had done it, he was pathological. And eventually, it just stopped. But for a while after, it still was there. I know another pastor, a missionary, who he still smoked. And afterward, it took him a while, and then he got used a little old lady to rebuke him when he was out door knocking. And he quit soon thereafter. And, you know, so there's stuff. I know a guy who was a drug user and a sodomite. And he did a 180-degree turn and literally was going to have an unholy marriage union that's unbiblical and literally put an absolute end to it and absolutely just dropped the drugs, just like that. And, you know, it was like that. And not saying he didn't have struggles with it, but, I mean, it was put to an end. Now, let's see what the Bible says about repentance. Let's take a look at Mark chapter 1, verse 14 through 15. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." So, let me go over Mark chapter 6, verse 7 through 12. And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over unclean spirits, and commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper nor money belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, "In whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you, when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Truly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment for that city." So they went out and preached that people should repent. Okay, Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ to the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Okay. Acts 3:18-21. "But those things which God foretold through the mouth of all his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, of which God has spoken through the mouth of all his holy prophets since the past ages." Acts chapter 17, verse 30-31. "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has established a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has appointed. He has given assurance of them of this to everyone by raising him from the dead." Matthew chapter 9, verse 13. "But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance." Acts 11:18. "When they heard these things, they kept silent, and they glorified God, saying, 'And God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance unto life.'" Acts 20, verses 18-21. "And when they had come to him, he said to them, 'You know, from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I lived among you all the time, serving the Lord of all humility with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ." Okay. Let me go over 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9-11. Now rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that you were made sorry unto repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner. What diligence it produced in you, what clearing of yourself, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vengeance. In all things you proved yourself to be clear in this matter. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. But beloved, do not be unaware of this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow concerning his promise, as some count slowness, but is long-suffering towards us, not purposing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with intense burning, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Clearly, it can be seen that the Bible is not silent on repentance. It's not silent at all. Repentance is part of salvation, just as faith in Jesus Christ, whom died on the cross for our sins and rose again, as the Bible says in Ephesians 1:20. By faith, believing in Jesus, who is the Son of God, God in the flesh, whom God the Father sent, the free gift to all who will accept it. Now, looking at the time, and I want to end with taking a look at this. Let me go over Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 10. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, let me close with this. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 23. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many entering in through it. Because narrow is the gate, and distressing is the way which leads unto life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them from their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree produces excellent fruit, but a corrupt tree produces evil fruit. A good tree is not able to produce evil fruit, nor is a corrupt tree able to produce excellent fruit. Every tree that does not produce excellent fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, from the fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many works of power in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work out lawlessness. Okay, consider that passage of scripture. And so I ask you, which of these didn't believe? Those who cast out demons? Those who did works of power in his name? Or those who prophesied in his name? Answer me that for those who say repentance is not necessary. And that you can just believe. Even the demons believe and shudder, the Bible tells us. Let's go over that. So, James chapter 2, verse 19. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. So, one of the things here is if you go to allwillstand.org and you take a look at the Christian Resource Center and you go ahead and you click on the Way of Life link, which is wayoflife.org, and you go to the website and you type in repent, and you will find there biblical repentance. And if you click on that, there's a lot of good information up on his website, David Quad. And there's even a free ebook you can find on repentance up there too. Excellent. And that's the book that I, by the way, when I say a mail book, it's that book right there. And I keep a few copies on hand. Just to send out from time to time, you know, that it seems necessary. Anyway, until next week, have a great week.